Amen. That's good singing. Let's turn, please, again to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 28. That portion of Scripture that we read earlier. This morning, or now this afternoon, I want to preach on the subject, the meeting after the resurrection. The meeting after the resurrection. And I want to base my remarks on Matthew 28, verses 9 and 10. Look what it says here. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, all hail. And they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Then said Jesus unto them, be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. Let's bow in a wee word of prayer and ask the Lord for his help as we come to consider God's truth today to our hearts. Our Father in heaven, we bow humbly and reverently before thee again this day. We thank thee, Lord, for every head bowed in your presence. And O God, we pray now as we all turn to the precious word of God, that you would have a word in season for each and every one of us. O God, as our faces differ, so do our needs. The preacher can't see the need, not alone meet the need. But we thank thee, Lord, that thou art the one who sees our every need, and you're the one that can meet our every need. Therefore, Lord, we pray to this end today that you would come, Lord, and speak to our hearts. Come, Lord, and comfort our souls. Strengthen us, we pray thee, in Christ. We do pray, Heavenly Father, that we might know the infilling of the Holy Spirit as we turn to the sacred page. And, O God, that as we leave God's house today, that we might say that it was good to be here, for it was here where we met with the Lord. O God, we thank thee for the promise that where two or three are gathered together in thy name, there thou art in the midst and not to bless. O God, come and bless us now. For it's in Jesus' precious name we ask it. Amen. The resurrection, as you know, is the foundation doctrine of the New Testament. If there's no resurrection, then the gospel message is a lie. Jesus Christ did not rise again. Then we are of all men most miserable. Our faith is vain, our preaching is vain, and we have no future beyond the grave. However, the Bible declares dogmatically that the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, not only died upon the cross, but that he rose again the third day. The truth of the Scriptures is Jesus is alive, and he is alive forevermore. After Christ rose again, the Bible tells us that he appeared unto many. Indeed, we have a list of people that the Lord Jesus appeared to in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. After the Apostle Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, speaks about the death and the resurrection of Christ, he then goes on to reveal unto us the different people that saw the Lord after he rose again. For example, he was seen of Cephas, that is Peter, then of the 12. Then he was seen of about 500 brethren at once. Then he was seen of James, then all of the apostles. And then, of course, Paul goes on to say in verse 8, last of all, he was seen of me also, as of one born out of due time. So there were many witnesses who saw the resurrected Christ. In Matthew chapter 28, we have one of those appearances. Here, the resurrected Christ appears unto the two Marys. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, who was probably Mary the mother of James. And what a meeting these two women had with the resurrected Christ. Just for a few moments at the end of our service today, very simply I want to draw your attention to this meeting that the Savior had with these two women. And I want us to see what we can learn from this meeting. And I do pray that the Lord will come and speak to all of our hearts. I believe that there's a message here for each and every one of us, and especially to those of us who are saved. These words here would encourage us. They would strengthen us in our faith. And I pray that we might leave God's house encouraged this Lord's Day, knowing and seeing again the resurrected Christ. Because our Savior, the one who has saved us, the one who loves us, praise God, he is alive. And he is alive forevermore. First of all, I want you to notice the words spoken at this meeting. I want you to think particularly about the words that the Lord Jesus spoke to these two women as soon as he met them. The Lord Jesus here said three things to them. And if you have your Bible in front of you, I want you to underline them. Look at the verse 9. First of all, the Lord Jesus spoke words of joy. He says to them, all hail. All hail. Or if you like, all joy. This phrase means to rejoice or to be of good cheer. What joy there must have been in the hearts of these women when they saw and heard the resurrected Christ speak to them. It would have filled their souls with overwhelming joy. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. Christ here exhorted them to be of good cheer and to rejoice. Although he had been nailed to a cross and died, he was now alive. He was now standing before the two Marys. And as he stands before these two women, he says to them, all hail. In other words, rejoice. I am alive. And I am alive forevermore. You know, child of God, the resurrection brings joy and gladness to the hearts of God's people. The resurrection is a joyous message. And praise God today, the Lord Jesus Christ is alive. Now, it's a truth that we believe. But we need to believe it every day of our lives, no matter what our circumstances may be. And maybe there's a child of God here today and things have been hard for you this week. Maybe you've been cast down. Maybe you're a little bit depressed. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ would meet you today. And he would say to you, all hail. He would say to you, rejoice, because I am alive forevermore. And not only do I know your circumstances, and not only do I know the difficulty that you're in, but I'm there to help you. And I'm there to strengthen you. And I'm there to be with you. Isn't that something wonderful? Praise God today. The resurrected Christ would give us peace in our hearts, and he would give us joy in our souls to meet whatever situation we have to face. Turn over with me just for a moment to Luke chapter 24. Keep your hand in Matthew chapter 28. Here again, we have the Lord Jesus appearing to his people, this time to his disciples. And look what he says to them in Luke chapter 24 and verse 36. And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and saith unto them, peace be unto you. But they were terrified and affrighted and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And he said unto them, why are ye troubled, and why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye see me have. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. Now underline verse 41. And while they yet believed not for joy. My, when they saw the resurrected Christ, the disciples' hearts were full of joy. Look at verse 52 and 53 of the same passage. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. Underline it. And were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Amen. You see, the resurrection of Christ brings joy. It brings peace. to the heart of the child of God. And dear believer today, if there is a truth that ought to thrill our hearts and fill our souls with praise, it ought to be this great truth, that the Lord Jesus is not in the tomb, nor is he upon the cross. Praise God, he has risen again. And the Bible tells us that he is seated at the right hand of his Father in heaven, ever living to make intercession for his people. Therefore, whatever problems we have today, whatever difficulties we have, the Lord Jesus has promised never to leave us nor forsake us. He has promised to be with us. Isn't that a tremendous blessing? Isn't that a tremendous truth? Oh, I pray today that this simple yet wonderful truth will grip our hearts and grip our souls again this Lord's day. Oh, let the Word of God encourage you. What great joy, what great peace the resurrection brings to the hearts of God's people. But take a look at verse 10 of Matthew chapter 28. And you'll see, secondly, as Jesus spoke to these two women, not only did he speak words of joy, but he spoke words of comfort. Because he said to them, "Then said Jesus unto them, Be not afraid. Be not afraid." In other words, fear not. What fear must have gripped their hearts when Jesus died? When the Savior was nailed to the cross. But now the news is different. He's alive and speaking words of comfort to them. You see, child of God, the resurrection brings comfort to the hearts of God's people. Not only does it bring joy, but it brings comfort. Isn't it tremendous to know that our Savior, the one who laid down his life, shed his precious blood for our sins, isn't it wonderful to know that he's alive? Doesn't that bring comfort to our hearts today? You know, we look around us in this old world and it's crazy. And sin abounds in every hand. Things seem to be getting worse. Why, the devil seems to be having a field day. But listen, dear child of God, Jesus is alive. And the resurrected Christ today would say to you and to me, be not afraid. Fear not. I wonder, did you ever consider, child of God, the fear nots in the Bible? Now, we just wouldn't have the time to read them all today, but it's a wonderful study, and you should take the time to study all the fear nots in the Bible. Let me just read you some of them very quickly. Deuteronomy 31 and verse 6 says, "Be strong and of a good courage, fear not, nor be afraid of them, for the Lord thy God, he it is that goeth before thee, he will not fail thee nor forsake thee." Isaiah 41 verse 10, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee, saith the Lord. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." Luke 2, verse 10 and 11, a very familiar one. "And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." Luke 12, verse 7. "But even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore. Ye have more value than many sparrows." And I could go on. Isn't it wonderful today that the Lord would come to us, this resurrected Christ, he would come to us and he would comfort our hearts in whatever situation we're in today, and he would say, "Fear not. Be not afraid." There's one fear not that I want you to turn to. It's the last fear not in the Bible. Turn over to Revelation chapter 1 for a moment. Keep your hand in Matthew 28. And underline verses 17 and 18 of Revelation chapter 1. Here we have John on the Isle of Patmos, and the Lord's going to give him this wonderful revelation of what's going to happen at the end time. And the Savior comes to speak to John, and this is what he says. And I want you to notice as the Savior speaks to John that it is, of course, the resurrected Savior that is speaking to John. And look what the Savior says, Revelation 1 verse 17. And when I saw him, I fell at his face, at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not. I am the first and the last. Now underline verse 18. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of death and hell. My, what a wonderful fear not that is. These are all the words of a God and a Savior that is alive and that is in control. Tremendous portion of Scripture, isn't it? Isn't it wonderful that we can turn to the Bible and we can read the words of Jesus, our blessed Savior? Oh, child of God, is the Lord Jesus real to you today? Has he spoken to you today? As the two Marys made their way back to tell the disciples what they had seen, the Bible says Jesus met them. He met them. And he said, all hail. Rejoice. Have joy in your heart. I'm alive. And be not afraid. Fear not. And that's what he would say to us today in the midst of our circumstances, whatever our circumstances may be. Maybe the devil's giving you a hard time. Maybe your back has been against the wall. Maybe things haven't just been going the way that you wanted them to go. Well, Jesus would come alongside today. And he would say, fear not, for I am with thee. And I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. But he said something else to them. Take a look at Matthew 28 again. And take a look at verse 10. Thirdly, not only did he speak words of joy, and not only did he speak words of comfort, but he spoke words of instruction. He said, go tell my brethren. Isn't that a wonderful phrase? You know, child of God, it's important that you look at every word and that you look at every phrase. Here we have the Lord Jesus, and he's speaking to the two Marys, and he gives them instruction. He says, go tell my brethren. The Lord Jesus has a special relationship with his people. Now, we all know that, but that's what is being brought out here in this text. Here Christ describes his disciples as his brethren. This is a description of deep affection. Child of God, it is great to have a personal and intimate, affectionate relationship with the God of heaven through Jesus Christ our Savior. Isn't it? You see, the resurrected Christ loves us today. We are his brethren. We are his children. And we must never forget that. This resurrected Christ wants us all to know that he is alive and that all power belongeth unto him in heaven and on earth, and that we are his redeemed children whom he loves. Whom he loves. And let us never forget that. When Jesus died upon the cross and shed his precious blood, he died upon the cross and shed his precious blood for his people, to redeem his people, to save his people. And when he rose again to justify them. And praise God, this very moment, as he is in heaven, seated at the right hand of his Father, he ever lives to make intercession for his people. Why? Because we are his brethren. We are his children. What tremendous words the two Marys heard that day as Jesus met them. Oh, my friend, the Lord Jesus wants to meet with us every day. Have you met with Jesus this week? Has he met with you? Oh, I would say to you, make sure you get into that secret closet with the Lord, that special time of prayer, and get down before Him, and then open the book. And I'll tell you this, when you open the book, Jesus will meet with you, because He speaks to us through His precious Word. His Holy Spirit takes the Word of God and applies it to our heart. When we meet with Him, when we take time to seek Him around the throne of grace, the words that Jesus spoke at the meeting. Now, turn back to Matthew chapter 28, because there's something else I want you to notice here. I want you to notice, secondly, the worship given at this meeting. The worship given at this meeting. Look at verse 9 again. It says, "And they came and held Him by the feet and worshipped Him." That's a tremendous statement. These women fell down at the feet of this resurrected Jesus, and the Bible tells us that they worshipped Him. They fell at His feet to worship Him. These feet that were nailed to the cross, these feet that were now victorious in resurrection, they fell at the feet of Jesus and worshipped Him. It's interesting to note how many times we read of people falling at the feet of Jesus in the Bible. Now again, that is a wonderful and an interesting study. And if you've never taken the time to consider that study, then do so, because it will bless and encourage your heart. Let me just read you again some of the incidences in the Bible where people fell at the feet of Jesus. Matthew 5, verse 22, it says, "And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and when he saw him, he fell at his feet." Mark 7, verse 25 says, "For a certain woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard of him and came and fell at his feet." Luke 17, verse 15 and 16, "And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God." That was one of the lepers, the 10 lepers that Christ healed, verse 16 says, "And he fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks." And he was a Samaritan. John 11, verse 32, "And when Mary was come where Jesus was, she saw him, and she fell down at his feet." Luke 8, verse 35, "Then they went out to see what was done, and came to Jesus, and found the man out of whom the devils were departed, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid." Luke 10, verse 39, we read of Mary, "And Martha had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word." The interesting fact is this, that the Lord Jesus never once rebuked any of these people when they fell at his feet and worshipped him. Christ always accepted their worship, and it was no different after the resurrection. In Matthew 28, when the women met Jesus after he rose again, the Savior accepted the worship they give him. Why? Well, of course, you know the answer to that, because Jesus is God, the second person in the Holy Trinity. The truth is, someday all people will fall down at the feet of Jesus and bow their knees before the resurrected Christ and worship Him as the God of glory. Turn over to Philippians chapter 2 for a moment. A few months ago, we were studying the book of Philippians. Look what it says here. Very interesting selection of verses in Philippians 2, verses 9 to 11. Let us read them. "Wherefore God also hath highly exalted Christ, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Oh, the truth is that someday everyone in this world will fall at the feet of Jesus and worship him. But for many of them, sadly, it'll be too late. My friend, those of you today who are not saved and you refuse to fall at his feet and yield your life to him and be saved, you refuse now to do so. The day is coming when you will bow at his feet, because every tongue will confess and every knee will bow before him. I pray today that you will heed the command of Christ and repent of your sin and trust Christ today. Fall at his feet now. Accept him as your Savior now. Trust him as your Redeemer now. But you can see here the actions of the two Marys. They were acknowledging that Jesus was the Son of God, the second person in the Holy Trinity. They were acknowledging that he was God manifest in the flesh. And they were worshiping him. Romans 14 verse 11 says, "For as it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God." The place of our worship is at the feet of Jesus. All men need to recognize today that the Lord Jesus Christ is the Son of God, the one who deserves and demands our worship. We often sing that little chorus, "Jesus, the name high over all, in hell or earth or sky, angels and men before it fall, and devils fear and fly." The sad thing today is that many in this land that we live, they worship everyone but Jesus. And of course, many in the Roman Catholic Church worship Mary, but Mary is not to be worshipped. We're all familiar with Matthew 2 verse 11. We read these words, "And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshipped Jesus." Isn't that wonderful? They didn't worship Mary. They fell down and they worshipped Jesus. And that's the place of our worship today. We lift up our hearts and we praise him. There's one final thought, and I know time's away. Turn to Matthew chapter 28 again. And notice, thirdly, the work delegated at this meeting. The work delegated at this meeting. Underline these words in verse 10. Jesus said to the two Marys, "Go tell." I just want you to focus on those two words for a moment. Go tell. These women were to tell that Christ was risen again. This was the wonderful message they had to declare. The message of a resurrected Christ. The message of a living Savior. Child of God, this is our work. We are to go tell forth the message of the resurrection. To let the world know that he has risen again. That the tomb is empty. Our work, our business, our duty in this 21st century is to tell. Do you remember what Jesus told the demoniac of Gadara after he was delivered from the power of Satan and wondrously saved by the grace of God? Remember that he wanted to be with Christ. He wanted to go with the Lord Jesus. However, in Mark 5, verse 19 and 20, we read these words, "Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, Go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord had done for thee, and hath had compassion on thee. And he departed and began to publish," or to tell forth in Decapolis, how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. All men did marvel. Oh, I pray in these days in which we live that you and I, child of God, will continue to tell forth this wonderful gospel, this wonderful truth, not only that Jesus Christ has died for sinners, but that he has risen again, and that someday he's coming back again. Matthew 22 verse 4 says, "Again he sent forth other servants, saying, Tell them which are bidden, behold, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready. Come unto the marriage." Oh, this is the work that all God's people must be involved in. My friend, who have you told this week of Jesus? Have you told any today that Jesus is alive? That he is the resurrected Savior? Here is the challenge for the church in this 21st century. The challenge is this: to continue to tell forth the message of the gospel and, of course, to preach the Great Commission. Jesus said, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Oh, may we in these days continually have this wonderful message upon our lips. Of course, the world does not believe it, but they never did believe it. The world will not accept it, but they never did accept it. Nothing has changed. Nothing has changed, but the Lord will have his people upon this earth right until he comes again. Because when Jesus comes again, he will find faith on this earth. That's why I don't believe in the secret rapture of the church. Because if you believe in the secret rapture of the church, then there has to come a time when there's no saints on the earth. And yet my Bible says that when Jesus comes again, he will find faith on the earth. Oh, my friend, right to the very end of this age, God's people will dwell upon this earth. And right to the very end of this age, God's people have the duty and the responsibility to go tell. To go tell. May we tell forth this wonderful message today. And may we leave God's house praising the Lord for what he has done for us, what he has given to us. And child of God, remember that every moment of every hour, of every day, of every week, of every month, of every year, the resurrected Christ is with us. Let us all pray.